Lord. As we're receiving offering this morning, if you have your bulletin, I'd like you to pull it out. Sometimes we read this and sometimes we use it for other things, but I'd like for you to pull it out. On the back there, it says food for thought. And Sherry, I think, usually comes up with this, maybe sometimes Charlene, but I wanted to read it to you this morning. It says, "What does your life sound like? The phone ringing in your office and home? A dog barking at everything?" Anybody relate to that? "Thunder, rain, and wind of a storm like we had last night? A baby crying over wet diaper, hunger, or seeking comfort because of colic? Car horns?" I live on Cherokee Street, and it's, traffic all the time. "Muffled evidence of endless traffic passing by your office window. Sirens that startle you in the night or shatter your day. A blaring television that has become a forgotten soundtrack to your routine. The crack of a bat, a ref's shrill whistle, and a crowd's roar in a crowded gym. The doorbell after the boy next door discovered how it works. The murmur of a crowd before a play or a party. Shockwaves from broken glass. Hammering, shouted directions, and heavy machinery of construction. The chatter of children in a crowded waiting room. The layered battle of voices as you search for a radio station. What does God sound like? With so much noise, how would you know? We live in a big, loud world. God speaks in a still, small voice. So take a moment, unplug, press the mute button, step off the roller coaster. God is speaking. Are you listening? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth." Let's stand together and we're going to do that. We're going to just be still and know that He is God, and we're going to pray together. And what we're going to pray together for is God's blessing and God's direction. And for the United States of America, we're just a few days away from a new leader leading this country. And I think we ought to have God's direction on that. How about you? Heavenly Father, we just come before You today and we are grateful as we enter this season, this fall season. We're grateful, Father, that we can come to church without restriction. And Father, today we lift up the United States of America, the free nation, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. We pray, Lord, as we go to the polls that God's man will be elected into office. Lord, we pray that all of the leaders that are being voted on in November, that it would be God's will and God's direction and God's mandate. And Lord, included in this prayer this morning is revival for this nation.
Yes.
Because Lord, we see the tide turning in the wrong direction, not just nationally, but locally. And so Lord, we pray for the tide to turn in the right direction. And Lord, for godly leaders to be elected and godly men and women to serve this nation.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray for every family that's represented at Cornerstone Church this morning, that You would teach us to shut off the radio, the television, the computer, all the side distractions, and hear what God has to say for our lives. Because Your word says, "Be still and know that I am God." And Lord, today there's just a few moments of time that we're worshiping together. But during these few minutes, we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We want the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and show us the pathway. And Lord, today we pray for the Hallelujah Party, that it will be the best ever.
Yes.
Lord, that families in this city will be touched by our love. We ask it for the glory and for the kingdom of God. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. We'll let you be seated, and we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 4. How many enjoyed Mark Levine on Wednesday night?
Amen.
Amen. Telling you, he was charged and he was on fire Wednesday night. Wonderful job. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7. Verse number 7. If you did not bring your Bible, we'll find a way to get the word to you, share with somebody. Hopefully, we've got most of these on the screen this morning. How many are glad for the Bible?
Yes.
What would we do without it? This is the guidebook. This is the playbook. And we need to read it, not just on Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin in verse number 7. Verse number 7. If you have a pencil or pen, and there's ample room on the back of the bulletin for notes, or you want to write, I just take my liberty. When I don't have paper, I write all over my Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 7. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." And you probably have this one underlined in your Bible. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And I like to underline the next verse. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay to wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love." I'm going to stop because I have to, but I don't want to, because I like to read the Bible. I like to read Paul's writings. And if you're a family member today, a mom or a dad or a grandparent today, I encourage you to read Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians, especially Ephesians and Colossians, because there is so many verses in here that are practical for those in the family of God. You know, look in our outline this morning. This has been praying about this and meditating upon it. Number one, the church that God uses. How many know that there's been a lot of different kinds of churches? Some people say, well, I can't find one single church that I like. And I kind of look at that person funny thinking, wow, we have 30 in town and 90 in the county, and you can't find one that you like? How many know God created chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry? Surely you can find a flavor you like. Amen? I was in a church one time, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. Our choir sang while I was in college in this church, and this church also had a guest choir. It was a black church, by the way, and they worshiped the Lord, and they sang for about 45 minutes in worship, and then the choir sang for about 20 minutes, and then a pastor spoke for about 30 minutes, and then we as guests got to sing for about 30 minutes, and then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we sat down to eat. Now, that's one kind of church. That's one kind of church. You guys, none of us in here would even last that long, I don't think. I mean, by 12 o'clock, we're done. Some of us done by 11:30. But all kinds of churches are out there. Quiet, loud, people who jump, people who roll on the floor, people who scream and holler, people that are so quiet that you can hear a church mouse. Isn't it kind of neat that God has created variety? Yes. And even in our church at Cornerstone, there's variety. There's a lot of different things throughout the week to create different kinds of modes of the church to reach us. But I believe there's one thing that we need to get into our spirit, that God wants us to come to church on a regular basis. Amen. And participate and be involved in it. Amen?
Amen?
It's getting weaker as I go longer. That requires more than tithing, more than just being here. It requires participating in what the church is doing. The church that God uses recognizes, first of all, that Jesus is the source and the foundation of the ministry of the church. What does that mean? It means that it's His church.
Right.
Amen? Hallelujah. I've gotten into arguments with people through the years about, you know, They're not going to move off of their pew because they paid for that pew. They're not going to move off their chair because they paid for that chair. It's God's church. And if Jesus is the source of the church and the source and the foundation of the ministry, then really it all belongs to Him. All that we're doing is managing for a period of time until we get the whole church together. Amen? Hallelujah. Over the years, I've been in a lot of church meetings and business meetings and board meetings. And, you know, a few times we voted 100%, but it was a rare thing. I had a pastoral election one time and they took the vote. And after we was talking to people in the church and talked to this lady, and she said, "Well, I voted against you. I voted no." And I said, "Why did you vote no?" She said, "Because I thought no meant don't leave." It's hard for everybody to get together, but when we do get together and we're unified, we make the devil mad. Amen? Sometimes it's tough just to get your family to decide on where you're going to eat this afternoon. That's a major decision. Amen? Hallelujah. It really don't matter to me. Flip a coin. I've been to all of them in Grove, and it don't really matter. Doesn't really matter where we go. Amen? Jesus has to be the source. What does that mean? That means that we ought to worship like Jesus wants us to worship. We ought to sing like Jesus wants us to sing. And we ought to serve like Jesus wants us to serve. Amen. If you begin looking at the model of Jesus, it was a pretty good model. A pretty good model. In fact, I started looking at the model of Jesus, and I didn't get very far in the Gospel of Mark. And I found out repeatedly, Jesus cared for people. Yeah. I went to the book of Mark and I went through chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that's really about as far as I got. I started in chapter 3, and in Mark 1 and Mark 2 and Mark 3, by the time I got to the third chapter, I had already walked through 6 miracles. See, even from the very, very, very beginning, Jesus was loving people, caring for people, and healing people. Amen? There's so much stuff that goes on around the church, as the vice presidential debate talked about this week. What's the meaning of stuff? Malarkey was Joe Biden's comment. Stuff that goes on, the fluff. But you know, the real core root area where a church grows is through ministry. It is through loving people. If you go to the book of Mark, you find out in chapter 1, he cures a demon-possessed man. In a little bit later, follow the words down in the passage of Mark 1. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals a leper. Go to chapter 2. 4 men are carrying a stretcher. And the man that they're carrying is paralyzed. And he says, "Pick up your mat and go home." Mark chapter 3 and verse number 9. I love this one. It says that many healings took place that day. Many healings took that place that day, and they had to move Jesus away from the crowd because so many people wanted to be around Him. How many want to be around Jesus? Amen? Amen? Amen. A lot of people are going to be in heaven, but I really would like to see Jesus. Yes. I really want to touch Him, want to be around Him, want to sit at His feet. And so until that time, daily, I'm practicing to talk like Him, be like Him, work like Him, serve like Him, sing like Him, love like Him. Be an example. Amen? Amen. Somebody told me the other day, they said, "Well, I want people to follow Jesus, not me. I get in the way. I make mistakes. And I want them to see Jesus." And as we were praying last night around these altars on Saturday night, as we do every Saturday night, that thought occurred to me. Mark, how are you displaying as a biblical example and a role model to the 2 children that you're responsible for? It's an awesome responsibility. What are they listening to you say? How are they hearing you pray? Do they hear you raise your voice? Do they hear you get upset? Do they hear you complain? What are my children listening to? How am I being a dad? Because you know what? The ministry of the church is more than being a pastor. It's being a father. The ministry is more than being a music leader, it's being a mom. The ministry is more than being a trustee, it's being a grandmother, and being a grandfather, and being an example, because that is ministry. In the world in which we live in today, we need that role to be fulfilled. Mom and dad and grandma and grandpa to be the kind of parents and grandparents that God has designed us to be. Are we fulfilling that ministry? Look in the book of Mark. Repeatedly, it just keeps happening. And I only showed you just the beginning. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle.
That's right.
Jesus was about serving and loving and caring. When we allow our flesh to lead us, we're moving in the wrong direction. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, He will speak to us about what direction to take. Amen? Who am I to be? Where am I to go? What is my ministry? And how do you want me to fulfill that? And I'll tell you what, we have lots of books. If you haven't visited our Christian bookstore, go back there and see Don Nielsen after service. And there's a lot of self-help books. There's a lot of books I love to read and love to write. And I love to understand and I like to research. And you can find all the books and fill your shelves up. But don't get too far away from the Bible, because the Bible is the source. In fact, Jesus is the source. He wasn't filled with a lot of complications. It was pretty simple. He was a simple man. Just loving people, healing people, caring for people. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. Now think about that. He descended and He ascended. He descended in hell and He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. But He also ascended into heaven. But it really didn't make any difference whether He descended and took the keys of hell, death, and the grave and ascended. He's still the same. For the Word of God says He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What does that mean? That means He's given gifts. And what are those gifts? Constitution and bylaws, policies, riches, money, cars, houses. No. The gift that Jesus returns to us is people. People. In fact, He gives back gifts, and you and I are the gift. We're the gift of the church. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody beside you and say, "You're a precious gift." Amen? Hallelujah. You're a gift. God gives back. And if you go down further, it says He gives apostles and prophets and teachers. They're spiritual gifts. They're ministry gifts. Hallelujah. How many are glad for the gifts at Cornerstone Church? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two of the most precious gifts in this body are sitting right back there on that back pew, Paul and Narita Taylor. They are gifts to the church. Hallelujah. And I'm not here to go through a round of applause. That would take the next 25 minutes. But we have gifts of people in different designated areas that are a blessing. Hallelujah. What a blessing. The gift that God gives, the gift of people. And we stir up that. And it comes at different angles. Apostles and prophets and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the body. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't ever teach like Janet Lay. There's only one Janet Lay. Amen? The one and only. Hallelujah. All I can be is me. And I'm different than you. And all you can be is you. But you have a gift. And God says in His Word, stir that up. Stir that up. You say, but mine's this gift. That's okay. Because that's what God gave you. Amen? That's what God gave you. Hallelujah. Anybody with me this morning?
Amen.
Amen. God is so merciful. God is so loving. God is so caring that He gives multiple gifts to make it all work right.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Ministry gifts, spiritual gifts. What a wonderful privilege. And we need to pray to receive and pursue these gifts. We need to pray for the people who are being used even currently, not just those who are gifted, but that others might be stirred up. Hallelujah. Wow, we have so many. We have so many that are so talented and so gifted. If you would, look at me with this second point that we have here this morning about how God uses this church. How God uses this church. The church that he uses has more than one coach. More than one coach. Now, I really didn't want to tell you about this morning. This is just kind of inspired by God. This is a little touch of Mark Levine from Wednesday night on me as the Holy Spirit lead. Really, I'm like Mark. I don't think it has anything to do with the Holy Spirit. But I have had a long year. And it's just getting longer by the days, and it's getting harder by the days, because in our third grade football team, we're 0-7. And we got spanked yesterday 41-0. And I don't like to lose. I don't like to be on that losing end. And so we had a meeting not long ago, and the coaches got together with the parents, because the parents are starting to kind of, you know, even by halftime yesterday, get a little bit unraveled. So the coaches said, "We're doing the best we can. I mean, you've given us your boys, and we're doing the best that we can with them." And, you know, all we can ask is that you stay with us, and we're down to two games now. And I think, if I'm correct in my facts, we play Coweta next week, and they haven't lost a game, so something's got to give next week. But I look at all these sports teams, and I find out that there's more than one coach. There's more than one coach. But, you know, in the church world, in the business world, there's more than one person running the business. What if the CEO passes away? Or what if the CEO resigns? Who's going to run the business? Well, in the church, there's more than one person running the church. There's multiple people involved. But sometimes we have this perspective that the pastor is the person who visits, he prays, he preaches, and he cleans, and he takes care of the plumbing, and he does all of these things. Yeah. And so we're one-sided in our dimension, believing that it's all through one. God never intended any ministry or any church to be led by just one.
Amen.
The church has ample room for many, many. Now, I will tell you, there's a problem when this happens, because when there are many coaches, there's many opinions. Amen? And I guarantee you, when you're 0-7, you got a lot of opinions out there. I went up to the coach the other day and I said, "Look, I never talk to you. I'm quiet as a mouse. I don't want to embarrass my son or embarrass you. But I got to tell you something." I said, "My son's out there, and when he gets ready to block, he doesn't know who to block." And he respected that opinion. So he started working with Braden and showing him who to block. I mean, it hadn't helped a whole lot, but he showed him how. And I had to finally vocalize my opinion. I'm not a person that sits on the sideline and starts calling people names and yelling at the refs, and maybe I should be more that way, but I try to be respectful. I do. But in the church world, we're all a part of a team, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, we're all members of one family. Now, I will tell you about the family. Sometimes the family fights. Sometimes the family, we just get on each other's nerves. You say, "Pastor's families do that?" Oh, yeah. We're human. But in the body of Christ, at the end of the day, there has to be ample room for the anointing and for leadership to make good decisions and everybody else follow along, because this is what happens in sports and business and in churches. Some people just, what are they doing? They don't like the direction. They don't like the strategy. They don't even like the coach. They don't even like the team. And I'll be truthful with you. We were getting edgy yesterday. Braden kept looking at me like, "Whoa, what's going on here? You know, we're getting busted again." And we were at this point of, we wanted to just go, "Get me out of here." But I tell you what, when God begins to deal with our hearts and God begins to speak to us, even though we may have a different opinion and a different slant, when we submit to the authority of God, we will hear God collectively together. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now, that little thing that I did down there, I'm preaching to the choir. You've all done that little thing, haven't you? Amen? Dad says, "We're going to McDonald's," and you're, "I want to go somewhere else." Hallelujah. We resist the things of God. We come against that. But when our flesh is beaten down and submits to the authority of God, and we hear from God, we submit. In fact, Paul deals with it in Ephesians. He says, "Submit one to another." Amen? How hard is it to sit there being 0-7, getting thumped 41-0? My whole body wanted to jump on the field and grab a helmet and go play. Because it's hard. But I want to tell you something this morning. If you'll hang in there long enough, God's going to do something. Amen? There was a movie out not long ago. Maybe you've seen it. I've seen it probably 10 to 12 times. And if you haven't seen it, and I don't really promote movies, but I recommend it. It's one of my favorite. And the title of it is Remember the Titans. There is so many wonderful lessons in that movie. Because it's dealing with a group of people a few years ago that were black and white. And they're fighting all kinds of obstacles and they're on the same team. They're divided. They're a black team and a white team and players pulling together to win a championship and doing some things. And just setting up this movie clip that we're going to see in just a moment. Denzel Washington, one of my favorite actors, by the way. He's the coach, and he faces adversity and persecution and a lot of challenges. So, got it ready. We're going to just roll this clip. Praise the Lord. You'll have to get the movie. But in this movie, there's so many touch points. I think I've cried pretty much every time that I have seen the movie. And one footnote to the movie is the coach was told, if you lose a game, you're fired. And then there's more scenarios beyond that. But you know, the diversity on that team was what struck me. The diversity of working together with a lot of tension and a lot of differences. But diversity made them stronger, not weaker. And we have old and young alike and rich and poor and middle class. Diversity makes us stronger, not weaker. Let's look at the last point about who the church is that God uses. It's one that has many members, multiple members with multiple talents. Not everybody can be the quarterback. Not everybody can be the running back. Not everybody can play defense. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times from my 8-year-old son. He said, I am so tired of blocking. Saw a little boy out there. His number was number 4. He's playing in the 2nd grade, and he's just about this tall. And he was running down the field and getting hit left and right, but he picked up the ball and got up again. And he was just, you know, if you blew on him, he'd probably knock him down. But I was just like, this kid is awesome. But he's just about this tall, maybe this tall. 2nd grade, running down the field. The church that God uses is the one that has an every member ministry. Yes, yes. Everybody is doing something. Yes. Everybody. It makes it so much easier. In family is more successful. Business is more successful. Every member. Hallelujah. Each one. Jesus deployed team ministry. He selected 12. Yes. And those 12 got together and that was his team. And this is what he said over this 3-year period of time of teaching. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And with 12 men, you know what happened? In 2.5 years, Asia Minor was turned upside down without a radio or a TV or without a newspaper. 12 men, 3 years sitting at the feet of Jesus, being with Jesus. And then they reached others and discipled and mentored others. Listen, with an every member ministry, it keeps us from being a Lone Ranger church. Everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to be in unity. Amen. Think about how that Ruth, she got a hold and she stayed with Naomi. Think about Elisha, how he came to Elijah and he said, Elijah, I don't want anything from you except a double portion of what you have. Yeah. Elisha got by Elijah. Ruth got with Naomi. You can read your Bible and you can go to Bible college and you can take courses, but really if you want some added ice cream and flavoring to your life that will give you spiritual depth, get around people that love God, pray, and are serving Him faithfully. Get around the spiritual giants. Get around people that a little bit of them will rub off on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:12. Turn there with me in closing this morning. Paul says these words in Philippians 3:12. He says, not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and striving forward to what lies ahead. You can't change what happened 30 minutes ago, but you can make a difference in the next hour. Are you with me? This is what Paul says in verse 14. Listen to these words. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:20, go on down. He says these words. Our homeland is heaven, where our Savior lives. And then verse 21. When He comes back, He will take these dying, decaying bodies of ours and change them into His glorious body like His own, using the same mighty power that He will use to conquer all else everywhere. We're all members. We all have different functions. We're all diverse. But together, we're all on the same team. And you know, some people, they're going to like some people better than others. That's okay, we identify with them. But I believe if we follow the example of Jesus, He loved everybody. He loved everybody. A few years ago, I was getting ready for church, and I used to be the children's pastor and the youth pastor, and I'd go home, lay in bed for about 3 hours with a migraine and aspirin after all that on Sunday morning, because half the time the bus didn't work, and we pushed it down the street with all the kids that were on the bus. Luckily, nobody got run over. And one morning, I remember coming into church, and I had picked up these snotty-nosed kids and their shoes were untied and they hadn't had a bath the night before. And I was sitting out in the driveway honking the horn thinking, I don't want to pick up these rugrats again, but here I am. And I got to the church and they all got off the bus, runny noses, untied shoes, hadn't had showers or baths, about six in one house, about a two-bedroom house. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. The pastor's standing in the hallway and the first boy, he gets off the bus and he is about this tall and his shoes are untied, his nose is running, and he hadn't had the bath, and I don't know what his mom and dad did for a living, but I just remember him running into the church as fast as he could, and he saw the pastor. When he saw the pastor, he ran as fast as he could, and he leapfrogged up to the pastor's arms, and he goes, Pastor Moore, I love you. Oh. And you know, that was one of those Kodak moments of the pastor could have said, get away from me, kid, but he didn't. He hugged him. Yes. He said, I love you too. That should be the picture of the church. Amen? That should be the picture, the Kodak moment of the church. I heard one pastor say, you know, you've got to train leaders, you've got to get leaders, you've got to get people into the church, you've got to get people to help you. But when you get them and you disciple them, they don't look perfected. They got runny noses, they haven't had a bath, they look rough, they look raw. But let God work on them a little bit at a time and rub off that rough edge, and they'll be something. They'll be something.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.